Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. We got the normal crew with us today. It's Brett and Kyle. And it's been a while since we've recorded a podcast.
I was just thinking, I kind of missed that music. It's been a few weeks since I've heard that.
Almost forgot. Wait, what's going on?
I know. I'm like, you're hitting the record button or whatever to start. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what it is.
Well, guys, I know I've welcomed you guys back in person, but on the podcast, welcome back.
Thank you guys.
The States from your guys' trip. You guys look pretty awake and alive. It's been a little bit of time, but...
Feel good at faking it.
I know. I was surprised to see Kyle the next day when we came in.
Not even the next day.
It was the same day.
It was the same day.
You landed that morning.
Yeah, you landed that morning, and I heard the door open, and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, wait a second. Who's here? And you came walking in. I was like, whoa, okay. He's ready to go.
I was feeling pretty good, and then I wanted to push through the day as much as I could just to try to get my body back on schedule, so... Yeah, it was good to be back doing some stuff.
So real quick, what's something since you could give all of our listeners and the rest of our church body and family and friends that listen, what's one highlight that you guys could or would want to mention about your guys' trip to Africa?
Yeah, we'll just have to pick one. I'll have Damon go first because we're going to have... Well,
I was pointing at him.
I know, that's why I jumped in first. Because we're going to have a whole service dedicated to our trip in 2 weeks. So we're just going to give a little teaser, just something for us personally. But
yeah, so I think for me, one of the big highlights was that, you know, this was a father-son trip. And it was five sets of fathers and sons. And so being able to go on a missions trip with my own son, even though he was the youngest one on the team, it was pretty unique and pretty special. And I really felt like family was a big highlight of our trip. You know, We did in Mozambique. We got to spend a lot of time with Pastor Daniel and Apostle Vasco and their extended family. The first day that we were there, or the first full day that we were there, we got a chance to go to a funeral with their family. And then because of the funeral, the extended family was all there. So we spent a lot of time with just the extended family and really building relationships with the whole family. And then in Kenya, we got a chance to spend a lot of time with the Hyodo family and then also a few brothers who are the Amakobe family and their wives and family and kids and stuff. And so it really just felt like the whole trip was a time of family. So whether we were bringing our own kids or we were spending time with families over there, it just really felt like a time of bonding and coming together and just, you know, recognizing that we're one family in Christ and, you know, being able to experience having brothers and sisters from across the world, but really they're brothers and sisters because of what Jesus has done for us. So
that's awesome.
I thought that was a real highlight to me. And it was cool. There were other points throughout the trip that it kept getting highlighted. You know, one time we were at the farm and Apostle Vasco was going to give us a tour of the farm. And Daniel comes up and he goes, "Follow me as I follow my father." As we're going around the tour, right? And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool that he's incorporating that. It was kind of special to me. And then, you know, there were other times where, like Apostle Vasco, he really has a heart for the next generations, you know? So he gave our kids kind of a challenge. We're at the farm and he was showing us, you know, the things that God has used some of our investment to build into and sow into in the farm. And he was telling them, you know, kids, like, I challenge you guys to do something great with your hands and serve the Lord in that way. And it was, you know, it was like really special to see that he has a heart for our kids as well. And, you know, wanting to see them do great things for the Lord in a similar way that he has. And so that was pretty cool. And then, you know, when we're in Kenya, just some of those things came up also, just seeing the people and pouring into the next generations and wanting to raise up the next generations. And I'm sure we'll share a little bit more about that in the service that's coming up in 2 weeks. We'll be sharing a little bit about our trip. And then we'll probably talk about it on the podcast after that too. So just as a little teaser, it was, you know, just a lot of time where we were able to build relationships and strengthen relationships. And it was cool for me just to see what it looks like to be a part of the body of Christ where, you know, we're from different backgrounds or different skin colors. We're different, you know, but we're united in Christ. And I thought that was really cool for me.
Yeah, I think for me, something that I probably wouldn't have time to share when we have our service is the Sunday we were in Mozambique, we were one Sunday in each country, but we split up into three teams and we went to three different churches. And then the one, Damon and I were at the same church, but I felt
bummer, we can't share from multiple churches on this episode.
So I had felt the Lord's prompting me to offer like ministry time to pray for people. Mm. So I mentioned that to Pastor Bila. It was his church. He's like, oh yeah, we can do that afterwards. So I mentioned it, and then I was, in my mind, I was envisioning like, oh, maybe like 10 people, and we'll pair up. Like, it was some youth, some of the sons, and then me and Damon were the adults. There's three kids. So I thought, oh, some of them can pair up. I can go by myself, and we'll have like three teams, and yeah, we can knock it out pretty fast. Well, when we did that call, it's like three quarters of the church came up. Wow. So it was like, I don't know. I couldn't really count. I mean, it was probably 50 people, don't you think? Yeah, 40 to 50?
It was probably somewhere close to that. We were praying for quite a while.
And they were just in lines. And so, but what was cool for me, there's two things that everybody just knew, like, okay, we all got to go individually. Or I think you and Dylan went together, right?
Yeah, Dylan and I went together.
That was better for him. But like, it was Eli and Jaden. They just knew they were going to pair up, and then they just like, we just got to go. So
they're
just,
like, oh my gosh. Yeah,
just seeing them go and pray. And so it was cool that, you know, we were praying in English, and most of them didn't understand English.
Because in Mozambique, they speak Portuguese.
Okay, so it was very minimal, but that was cool. And it was just cool to see the kids step into it. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, this is our time. We're going to go pray for people. But for me specifically, there was one girl, I would say she's probably early teenager. And I felt like I had a word for her, like a word of knowledge that like the Lord had instilled like supernatural faith in her. Mm. So I prayed that over her. And then we got done. I said, do you understand English? And she's like, no, she's shaking her head. I'm like, oh man. So then we still had like a number of people to pray for, but that kind of stuck with me. And then we sat down, and I turned around several times. I'm like, where is she? Like, and then I remembered what jacket she had on or clothes. And then I saw her, and I'm like, okay, after service, I need to go find her. Mm. So after service totally ended, then I grabbed one of our interpreters, and I'm like, hey, can you come with me? I need to share something. And I, looking back, I didn't do it with the best tact because I kind of just went right up to her and said, hey, the Lord said this. So I was like, I should have just, like, hey, I wanted to explain what I prayed over you.
Yeah.
But it was cool because I felt like she was kind of taken aback, like, whoa, like that's kind of big and heavy, and almost a little embarrassed, almost like, wow, that's, I was singled out like that. But what was playing in my mind when that happened was I had just listened to Sang's Catalyst Stories, mm-hmm. that where she said that person at the Harvest Crusade turned around and like kind of talked to her and gave her a word. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to do this. I need to be obedient. And mm-hmm. I don't know how it's going to impact that girl going up, mm-hmm. but I feel like the Lord was honored that I took the initiative to go talk to her. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, what I did my part. And I don't know. It was cool that her testimony spurred me on to kind of do that for somebody else.
That's awesome. I know I've heard a lot of stories already from you guys. I have the opportunity to hear that as soon as you guys get back. But I'm really looking forward to the service and the podcast where you guys are going to be able to elaborate more, because I'm sure there's so many things and stuff still probably is in your mind and your hearts that you're processing or with your kids. And so I encourage anybody out there, when you see these guys, they may have told the story 1,000 times, but still ask them, see pictures. There's some awesome things that I got to see just through you guys. And so I encourage all of you guys to don't hesitate to ask, even though there will be a service and a podcast. Yeah, go find out for yourself too.
Although I was on the trip, and this is the first time I've heard that story, and I was with him at that church. So,
well, boom, there you go. You're getting an exclusive.
I thought I shared that with you. No, I shared it with some people. I thought
you get an exclusive, all you Engaged to Flourish listeners. But yeah, I would say go ask, because.
But then, yeah, we also have our page still up on our website. Mm-hmm. It has the videos.
Check that
Damon
out.
Did a great job of putting videos together to keep people like up to date with what we were doing. So I know that helps.
And there's still one video to come, so I'm still one day behind, but. Yeah, we had some internet issues in Kenya and some time issues in Kenya, so still a little backed up. But if you haven't checked it out yet, you can get caught up and see some of the things that we're not going to have time. You know, we're only going to have what, half hour, 45 minutes in service to be able to share. So, if you want to see more day to day, what it looked like in Africa, check out our webpage. It's, you can go to it on our homepage and it says Africa 2024 missions trip at the top. And you can click on that and we have a day to day, entries on what we did on our trip.
Since I was the only one present at church this Sunday is
that's a first.
I know how the tables turn.
You're not off the dome today.
Yeah, no.
Have to go off the dome because we both watched it.
I know. Okay, you guys did a good job of actually watching it. You guys are very responsible and stuff. I just had to throw that in there because sometimes my dad will tell me, hey, you weren't in service. I don't know if you should be talking about stuff on the podcast. I'm like, well, I'm teaching my own lesson in service. I'm in my own service with the youth. But, oh, yeah. Jumping into Sunday, I really liked it. I thought Robert did a really good job. I haven't been in a multi-generational service, or I haven't been in a service where he's taught with the kids in there. Mm. And so it was my first time hearing him do that. And I thought he did a really good job.
I think that's his first time, right? Because the other one he did wasn't a multi-gen.
Oh, just the youth were in there. Or I had the magnetic in there.
Yeah, I think so.
Or I had, the forge in there. Yeah,
that was his first multi-gen service. And he was really looking forward to doing it because he was really looking forward to being able to interact with the kids and mm-hmm. bring his style. And yeah, I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, no, it's continuing that shift that we're trying to get back to just engaging the kids and making them feel special, that it's a service for them, yet at the same time, the adults are going to get the concepts. But yeah, I thought he did a great job getting the kids involved and interacting and adjusting.
Even though Riley was
I was just going to say, adjusting on the fly when Riley was being difficult.
Which is typical Riley. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was good. And it was like a continuation, actually, of our summer Bible study because we did the book of Ephesians.
Mm. Oh, Galatians.
Galatians.
We did Ephesians as a whole church earlier. Bible study was Galatians.
And talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So yeah, and then he talked about love. So you want to give a little more insight on that, Damon?
Yeah, so it's interesting because we were going through Galatians for men's summer Bible study. And when we got to the fruit of the Spirit, he kind of gave us a little bit of a preview on what he was going to be talking about for this service. And it led to a rousing discussion, which ended up being actually really good because, afterwards, Robert came up to me and said that discussion really helped him to shape how he was going to present this past Sunday, because some of the concepts that he was talking about were a little bit more abstract. And so if it was a little bit difficult for us as adults to be able to grasp it, and it was actually cool too, because in Bible study, we did have some of the youth in there. Mm-hmm. So we did have multi-ages, but it was just a little bit abstract. And so having that discussion helped him to shape it so that it was easier to understand. And when I watched it on the video, I was like, oh, if he would have done it like this, it would have been a lot easier to understand. And because it was a lot more straightforward and a lot smoother on some of the connections, because what I'm referring to is when he was talking about how the connection between love and the other characteristics of the fruit.
The 1 Corinthians 13 passage.
Yeah. And so, where he's connecting love to joy, love to peace, love to patience. And, you know, and before he was trying to use, in Bible study, he was trying to use it kind of like as a love as the catch-all. But I like the illustration that he used where, you know, love is kind of the main ingredient, and the other characteristics are how that love is shown, like how we apply it and how we're actually able to use it. And I thought that was really cool.
I really liked how he ended up even like using the cards and having the kids come up and showing which part of the verse is like, what does that sound like, and stuff like that. I thought it was a really good breakdown to have that understanding of the connection. And so, I thought he did a fantastic job in breaking it down. Although it's funny because, I mean, a little bit behind the scenes, when I was willing to share on one of the fruit of spirit, I was told I was not allowed to speak on one of the first three. And then all of a sudden, all these ones are coming out on the first three. I'm like, huh. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Wow, there's a little bitterness coming out.
No, I was just like, wait a second. No.
No, I know.
Well, we wanted to give you a little bit more of a challenge so that we could save the easier ones for people that haven't had a chance to share yet.
I'm just joking. I was like, whoa, I thought we were trying to focus on the other ones. But no.
I forgot about that. But I think, yeah, Pastor Barry's idea was the first three get talked about a lot, but let's focus on some of the other ones and give them some runtime.
Yeah.
But now that when you said that, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
It's reserved for Robert, I guess.
But how was that for you hearing how he tied in, Brett? How was that for you in 1 Corinthians to the fruit of the Spirit? And that, because when he brought it up in men's Bible study, I was like, oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. So how was that for you hearing it the first time? Or was that your first time hearing it?
It was my first time hearing it in that way. Mm-hmm. But to me, the way that he broke it down, it made a lot of sense. It was easier to understand than, I guess, the way that he could have been referring to it in the men's Bible study. And it just reiterates to me how hand in hand all of these things go. They're not just separate entities that's like you just ask or try to grow in one and just like it's separate, but by us and our understanding of them and how they're connected and growing in them, like you're going to naturally grow in all of those aspects. And so I think it just continues to reiterate that God has so much purpose in it, and it's not like just a single tunnel vision type of thing. There is some deep connection. After seeing all of these multi-generational services, though, it does feel like I need to, I wish I did things a little bit different, but it was a good learning experience for me, because I really liked just even the simple ways he got people involved and were able to draw connection, where it's like the kids were able to see it, but like even for an adult, I'm able to draw those connections and see those things.
I really liked his pictures of himself when the Photoshopped pictures of himself when he was growing up.
That was funny.
That was good.
But I liked when he threw out the bags of flour.
It's funny.
Go enjoy it. Like, that's the main ingredient. That's all you really need. And then it's like, oh, that was a cool illustration to be like, yeah, that's the main thing. But if you don't have the other ingredients, then it's not what you're anticipating or intended.
The funny thing about that too is I saw a couple of kids walking back up the aisle with two hands holding the flour in their hand, just like smiling like they got it. And I'm thinking their parents are probably like, I don't know what I'm going to do with that.
Open up and taste it and then see if you still have a smile.
It was pretty funny. It's like, they got one, and they're walking back with this little Ziploc.
But I think that's what's cool about those services is when you can do those well and make those connections that the kids get, usually the parents get it even better, like or the adults. They're like, oh, yeah. Like, because when you simplify it down, it's like, okay, sometimes we need that simplified version to really like sink in and hit home.
Especially with something like love that does get talked about a lot. I like the way that he did speak on it was like, oh, this is not just the every sermon on love and God's love. It was a little bit more detailed and branched out some, but it still reflected back to love. So it was good.
Well, that's just Robert's style. He's really thought-provoking and he's really good at making some of those connections. So for all you men out there, next year when he does men's Bible study, I encourage you to check it out because, yeah, it's been really good having Robert leading and teaching the men's Bible study. I think it was Galatians 4 this year. He had a teaching that was like mind-blowing to me, but you'll just have to watch it on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, and I really appreciated how his teaching this time really connected all of the fruit together. Because like we had talked about before, it's the fruit, like the singular, the fruit of the Spirit, but it's all those different names. So then it's that the idea with the ingredients too, it's like they're all connected. And love in the Bible, love is very, it's highlighted, it's elevated. It is like one of the highest, but if you don't have the other parts with it, it's missing certain things. So like just how that, yeah, I like that idea that they're all interconnected.
One of the things that I really liked about his sermon is that I think Kyle got a kick out of a connection that he made because, yeah. Kyle, do you want to share a little bit of a story time with Kyle?
Damon kept teasing me because he watched it before I did or listened to it. And, oh, you're going to like something at the end. Okay, so at the end, like Robert's like, he uses the phrase, "That's not my dad." Like when he's like, when you're describing like, kind of like what like anti-fruit is or something, right? Like that's not what.
And the ways that the world tells us lies about ourselves, right?
Right, right. And then so you know that voice, like, "That's not my dad." So then when I listened to him, I'm like, "Oh, okay, I know what he's talking about." So this was, okay, a little insight. This was a little bit of a running joke on our trip. Matt told me it was one of his top three highlights, that phrase. I'm like, wow, I made a top three highlight. This was, I don't even know when I shared it. Was that the first meal we had in our layover?
I think it was, might have been then. Right, it was at the beginning.
So I shared this story with my nephew. He's like 5 or 6, and they're at my parents. So we went over there. My sister and my brother-in-law were out for dinner or a wedding or something. So her two kids are there, my family. I'm sitting next to my nephew, super picky eater, like one of the pickiest I've ever seen and been around. So he's next to me, and all he just keeps eating chips, and like he's not eating like his meal or anything. So I'm like, I'll say his name, Rusty. I'm like, "Rusty, dude, take a bite of," I think it was mac and cheese or something. It was something like still good. "Take a bite of that." And then he would like maybe a little bit, and he'd go back to eating chips. I'm watching him. I'm like, "Rusty, dude, eat some of your dinner." My parents are not good with that kind of stuff. They kind of just let him do whatever. I'm like, this is dinner time. You can't just eat junk food. So I think it was like the third time. Maybe it was the fourth. I don't know. I'm not sure how much restraint he had. But he got to his point where he couldn't take it anymore. So "Rusty, take a bite of your dinner." And he turned over to me. I remember he was right on my left. He turned to his right. He looked at me and he goes, "You're not my dad." And it just shut me down. I was like, I can't say anything. It's true.
You're right.
I
mean,
it's right. You're right. I only have so much authority as an uncle, right? So I was like, okay, I'm going to let that one go. So I shared that story, and then it just kept getting brought up. Like, "You're not my dad." I guess. And then I heard Pastor Barry actually use that phrase. He used that analogy in his message in Mozambique when he spoke. So I'm like, oh, wow, that's getting a lot of runtime. But so then when Robert said, "That's not my dad," I'm like, okay, yeah, it's kind of like the same thing. Anyways, that's what Damon was referring to.
Yeah, I just, when Robert said that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so funny. I can't wait. And I listened to it on the plane.
Yeah, you were next to me.
And I was, and because I had downloaded the podcast or the audio version onto my phone, so I was listening to it on the plane. And then I was sitting right next to Kyle, and I was like, oh, man, I really want Kyle to listen to this right now, but there's no internet. There's no way for him to listen to it, so I just have to wait.
So, yeah, we had to keep ourselves entertained, and humor was part of it on our trip.
I think that's actually a good tool, though, for, like, the kids. Mm-hmm. Just to recognize even, like, hearing God's voice versus not. Mm-hmm. Like, just that simple phrase, even though it's silly, it can be silly or whatever, but... yeah, there's things where it's like, what are you listening to? And knowing that is like a simple thing that hopefully sticks with them and they're able to use and be able to hear God's voice even that much more clearly, or like to be able to identify when something is like not from God and to be able to stay away from that. And so it's a funny point, but If you can apply that to your life in reality with Father God, I think that's a huge thing.
Honestly, I think it's even more important for the adults because I think a lot of times they don't recognize that and then they get sucked into those bad ways of thinking, the beliefs about themselves. But I think it really highlights, too, the importance of knowing who God is, his character, how he, you know, like just how he is in the Bible, because that's when you can say, like, wait, that doesn't sound like my dad. That's not like my Father God. So, if you don't understand that and have an understanding of that, then you might be questioning and not really know.
Yeah. So we're joking around about this funny story about Kyle, but really, I really appreciated that point, and I think that's probably why it got highlighted so many times, whether it was on our trip or whether it was Pastor Barry using it in a message or Robert using it in his message too. It's just, just the Lord wants us to know what his voice sounds like, and he wants us to be able to hear from him and hear his truths. And when we do that, how freeing that is for us, because then we're not living enslaved to all these lies that we've believed about ourselves. So we joke about it. It's a funny story. It's funny connections, but I really do think that there is power in that truth, and being able to use that as a tool for us to set us free from some of the wrong things we've believed about ourselves.
Dude, tied in only like a podcast host can tie in. Good job, Damon. Like, how, where are we going to go with this, man? We opened a box here.
All right, so is there anything else that was highlighted to you guys about Robert's message, or anything about love that comes to mind that we didn't get a chance to talk about?
I think one thing I've noticed with just the continuation of the intentionality and emphasis on the multi-generational services, it does feel like there's a certain spirit or just energy during those services. Mm-hmm. And not just because he was going over the topic of love, but there is that mix of like laughter, but then also like a like God's truth, or like his presence being there. And then to see, you know, the kids participate, and like a lot of the youth, I think, understand it, and they without question like are willing to help the little ones participate and volunteer. And so it's almost like I think we've found as a church closer to this groove of the expectation of that service, and everyone's pretty bought into it. And so just sitting there, it was like enjoyable and just nice to see kind of all the different aspects kind of fall into place and know that God is ultimately leading it. And so like, even like your son, Kyle, like to help the youngest ones, he went up there on his knees and helped them grab the car. And so it's just like, that's not something that wasn't asked of him. It's just like, oh, we help participate, so this is what we do. The little ones want to help participate. Okay, we can help them participate. Like, it's not a second thought about it. It's just, no, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. We help the younger ones. We also, you know, are modeled after the older ones. So it's just cool to see how it's continuing to form. It's continuing to build the ways that I think we originally hoped that God would lead it.
Yeah, I mean, really, to circle back to where we started from, it's that concept of family, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of our key values at our church. And then we got to experience it in a different way, in different cultures, different part of the world. But really, that's part of our church. So yeah, In some ways, I don't know, disappointed or saddened that we let that slip for a little while, but I'm glad that it's been brought back and that we're building on that for the younger generations.
Yeah, it's really cool to see the kids get excited about coming to church, right? And Robert had told me before that Tyson had come up to him and was like, "Grandpa, like, my favorite service is the first Sunday of the month because I like being in there with everybody." And so to see some of the younger kids have that anticipation and excitement to be there and know that they get to participate and that the sermon is going to be tailored toward them, but not, you know, only for them. It's going to be for the adults as well. But just to know that it's not just for the adults, I think that's exciting to see. And it is exciting to see the multi-generational aspect of it, where the older ones are helping the younger ones, or, you know, things like that. I think that's really cool. And I think that's really just going to help our church culture to continue to grow and people to get closer together and the generations to look up and down at each other with love and care. I think that's really cool.
I think another thing, and it might be a little bit more behind the scenes, but, you know, you guys being gone, Pastor Barry being gone, I know there's probably some nerves with certain people, or just people like, oh, what, like, just how's it going to be? How's it going to go? Whether it's even just feeling like there's a missing covering of a lot of the fathers, to, okay, our kind of head pastor is not here. And I didn't think like there'd be anything wrong or worry about the service, but there is like a little bit of a pause of like, okay, like not not be prepared for an emergency, but just like, oh, there is an awareness to step up if needed or different things, right? And I know Jerry had talked to some of us about it, just like, okay, I mean, everything's probably going to be fine, but just, you know, to help out other people because there might be gaps, or if things do come up, how can we kind of band together and help each other out? And so, you know, your guys' presence is definitely missed, but I think in those ways, it's also a good assurance to know, like, you know, God's still going to move. He's still going to work. And we just need to continue to be obedient to that and faithful to that. And then willing to step up or do things, you know, if needed, when people are missing or people aren't present, because even though it may feel like, uh-oh, like they're not there, like your guys's spirit, your guys's things that you have had impact on, the ways that Pastor Barry has continue to lead our church, like that doesn't get taken away just because physically you guys aren't there. And so just like an encouragement to the rest of the church too, like that's why it does take us, all of us, right? Because we all have to step into it and usher in God's presence, and he'll meet us there. And so I know a couple people ask like, so what happens if this? And I'm like, I don't know, like we'll just figure it out. Or, oh, that's like a lot of your staff missing. It's like, yeah, but like, you know, we just kind of figure it out. And so that's another thing where, yes, you guys were definitely missed, but also it's just that recognition of like, okay, we could keep going.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool to recognize some of the ways that the Lord had prepared us already for this too. Like even knowing that we wouldn't have to take down and set up each week because we still had, you know, the school was out. Even though this coming Sunday, we do have to take down again. We have to start taking down.
Yeah, welcome back, guys.
I'll take that versus like the stress of not knowing how it was going to go while we were gone.
Yeah, so just seeing how the Lord had prepared that. Like, school could have come back in last week. I mean, my kids are in school this week, so, but because the Lord had already set that in motion, the timing worked out where we didn't have to worry about that either. Or, you know, and there have been some weeks in this past year where Kyle got thrown under the bus because Pastor Barry got sick and had to all of a sudden create a sermon with like one day notice or something like that, right? So there have been opportunities where the Lord has kind of prepared us for situations where like this, but in this case, it was kind of cool that we were aware of it weeks in advance and not just, you know, kind of on the fly.
I was just waiting to see who was going to break the silence. Damon couldn't hold it any longer.
Well, I thought someone was going to jump in and say something after I said something. I didn't think I was going to end the segment like that. But yeah, it's cool to see that the heart of our church is to step up and step in when other people aren't going to be there. So knowing that gave us a lot of confidence when we were on the trip that everything was going to go smoothly, and that, you know, shout out to Brandon for stepping up and running the visual and the recording ministry. I thought he was super prepared because he wanted to do a good job when he was there. So, you know, he stepped up and came in, you know, a few weeks in advance just to make sure that he was going to be ready and things were going to run smoothly on that side. And I had personally benefited from that because I was able to, you know, watch and listen to the sermons while we were over in Africa. So, you know, it's cool to have that available. And so shout out to Brandon for stepping in and covering for me while I was gone.
My wife asked me, oh, since like all those people are gone, like, do you have to do something or you have to help out with something? And I was like, nah, this is multi-generational service. I get to enjoy the service.
Although it was interesting, the first week we were gone, and the first thing that comes out of Ross's sermon was the cats are away so the mice could play. Yeah. I was like, uh-oh, what's this going to happen? But it turned out to be really good anyway. So, yeah, so, you know, it's good to be back. It's good to kind of get back in the swing of things, get back in the rhythm. It's nice to be able to record once again and be with everybody. And so we're looking back to are looking forward to getting back in the swing of things, having regular episodes come out. You know, school time's getting started for everyone with kids, and it's time to get back in that rhythm.
Yeah, we had our promotion, so shout out to all the kids who are moving up. And even if you're not changing classes, you know, it starts another year, another grade, another class. And so I'm excited for this upcoming school calendar year.
I'm good. I got nothing else. I don't know if it's like
just, you can tell we're a little rusty
I'm
too.
Jet lag. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I've said enough.
You're just saving it up for the Africa episode
go,
where
bro,
it's gonna be. I'm
go.
Just gonna sit back and you guys are just gonna tell all your stories.
Yeah, my sleep pattern's a little off, so I've been up a little earlier than usual. I'm more on Damon's schedule right now. And like, I'm not used to that, so like, yeah, I'm getting ready for lunch now. I think I need a little more recharge.
Yeah, we're still shaking off a little bit of the rust from our trip and not having recorded for a few weeks. So hopefully in our next episode, it'll be a lot smoother and things will sound a little bit more normal.
Or I think the people might like this kind of stuff. So just the way it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
or maybe not.
I think we're just babbling at this point.
Okay.
So.
I told you I didn't have anything. Why'd you guys like keep looking at me like I have to say something?
All right. So we're looking forward to being back in the swing of things. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.